Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bum Podcast.
Are you silly?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is Heaven Bound.
You should come too.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. Today we're recording episode number...
19.
19. Episode number 19. And what did you get to do this weekend?
The airplane show.
The airplane show. Was that neat?
Yeah.
What did the airplanes do?
They did tricks.
They did tricks. So they go up high.
Yeah.
And then turn around and like fall. They looked like they were going to crash, didn't they? And then when they got close to the ground, they would zoom back up and go again. And they did loops. And they did twirls. And sometimes they made smoke come out the back and made big stripes across the sky out of smoke. The very first thing they did, do you remember the very first thing we saw after we got there? What was falling down from the sky?
The airplane.
Well, there was an airplane up there. The airplane was flying circles around something else. What was falling in the middle of the circle?
I don't know.
You don't remember? Was it a person?
No.
Was there a person falling out of the sky?
No, nobody was falling.
What was he doing?
Floating.
Oh, he was floating. How was he floating?
With a parachute.
He had a parachute helping him float down to the ground. And what was he pulling behind him? Do you remember?
A flag.
A great big American flag. And that was neat. And we got to, they played the national anthem and we watched the parachuter float all the way down and fly the great big flag in front of us. Do you know he jumped out of an airplane? That's how he got up there. He jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. Is that crazy or what?
What?
I think it's pretty crazy. But we had fun. And what else was there? You got to go get in something.
A bouncy castle.
They had a big bouncy castle, and you got some ice cream, and you even got a toy airplane. Did you get to pick out an airplane?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was neat, and we got to spend time together, and we got to watch those fun airplanes, and they had a bunch that were just parked, and we could walk around and look at them, and that's probably the closest you've ever been to an airplane, huh? Well, you've been on a big airplane to fly to see Grammy, but to just walk up outside and get a good look at it, we got to walk right up next to them and see them, and that was fun, huh?
And when we got home from that, we got to see a racer snake.
That's true. When we got home, we found right in our yard a little snake, and we caught him. And put him in a bucket so we could see him real close without having to hold him or touch him and make him mad, huh? Daddy caught him real fast and just put him in a bucket so we could look at him. And then after a little while, we came inside and we got on the computer and we looked up to see, because we knew what color he was and we knew what shape he was. And we got online and looked and we found out, what kind of snake is he?
A racer.
A racer, yeah. Yellow belly racer. And those are neat little snakes. They actually shakes his tail kind of like a rattlesnake, although he's not a rat. He doesn't have a rattle on it, but he pretends like he's a rattlesnake. Is the yellow belly racer a venomous or a non-venomous snake?
A non-venomous.
Yeah, and so he was okay. He was safe for us to look at and play with. But if we see a venomous snake, what do?
We go inside quick.
Yeah, we leave them alone and go away, don't we?
Yeah.
But, okay, well today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. And we're not talking about airplanes today, because there weren't airplanes back in the New Testament. And we're not talking about snakes today, although there were snakes back in the New Testament. There were snakes ever since the very first week when God created everything, huh?
Yeah.
But they're not in our story today. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to see verses 18 through 22. Not a very long section, but it's a pretty neat section, I think. Jesus, we talked about, couple of his miracles. He's gone around and he's impressed some people, and he's made some people mad already too. But people are starting to figure out who he is. And so he's ready to get some help. Did you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to go look for some good men that are able to help him. And he's going to call them and say, hey, why don't you come with me? I need a good helper just like you. And we're going to find out who some of those men were today. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18, it says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And what were they doing? What do you think they were doing next to the Sea of Galilee?
Fishing.
Fishing. Yeah, it says they were casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Now, have you ever been fishing before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you like to go fishing?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you catch when you go fishing?
Fish.
Fish. When Daddy goes fishing, I catch mostly sticks and moss and weeds and things like that. Sometimes I catch a fish. But when you go fishing, we try to catch fish. And what do you use to catch fish?
A fishing pole.
A fishing pole. But what did Peter and Andrew use to try to catch fish?
A net.
A net.
But yeah. Why?
Well, because with a great big net, you can try to catch a whole bunch of fish at once. When we go fishing with our fishing pole, how many fish can we catch on our fishing pole at the same time? Usually just one. Sometimes you might catch more than one. It depends on what you have on your, what you have on the end of your line. Sometimes if you have a lure that has more than one hook, you might catch more than one fish at the same time. Or sometimes you can set out a long line. And sometimes your long line floats across the top of the water. Or sometimes it lays across the bottom of the water. And all the way down that line you put a bunch of little bitty strings with little hooks. And you can leave it out there and then you come check it later. And you might get 4 or 5 or 8 or 9 or 10 fish all up and down that line at the same time, but usually we don't catch very many fish at the same time. But if you have a boat and a great big net, and you can go out in the water and you can drag the big net behind you, or you can cast it out over a great big area and go down, then you can try to catch a whole bunch of fish all at once. Now, when we go fishing, we use a pole, and we only try to catch one fish at a time. Because we really only want, well, it's fun to catch a bunch, but if we're catching so that we can eat, we only really need a few fish. If they're really big, maybe just one or two. If they're little bitty, maybe 6 or 7, but we don't need very many. But Peter and Andrew needed to use a net to try to catch a bunch of fish. Do you know why they needed to try to catch a bunch of fish?
Why?
Because that was their job. That's how they made money. They were fishermen. They weren't just going out in the afternoon so they could relax and spend time with their family. That's where they went to work every day. Would that be a good job? To get to go fishing every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it might not have always been fun for them because it was hard work, because they had to try to catch a bunch of fish and bring them back in and go to the market and sell them. So other people that didn't have time to go fishing could come buy fish and they could eat fish for dinner. So that was what Peter and Andrew did for their job. They went to work every day and went down to the boat. And
we usually catch catfish.
I don't know. We usually eat catfish when we go to restaurants. We usually eat fried catfish. I don't know if you've ever caught a catfish before. Usually we catch perch or bass. We'll have to go catfishing sometime, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to fish for a largemouth bass.
Oh, okay. How big of a largemouth bass do you think you could catch?
This big.
That's bigger than you are. How could you reel it in if he's that big? He'd pull you in the water and swim away with you.
Not if you could hold me tight.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I would hold you tight. I wouldn't let you get pulled into the water.
Yeah.
Okay, so Peter and Andrew are out fishing, and they've got their nets, and that's what they do for a job, and they're trying to catch fish. And Jesus walked up to them, and I think he already knew them. I think he already knew who they were, and I think that he already knew they were good guys. And I think they probably were already disciples of John the Baptist. Do you remember talking about John the Baptist? And I think they were around when Jesus got baptized. And the reason I think that is because later when we read in the book of Acts, they had to pick a new apostle to take Judas's place. And when they were trying to pick who it was, they knew that it was supposed to be somebody that had been following Jesus ever since the very beginning, ever since Jesus got baptized. And I think that was important, that these men had been following him the whole time. And so I think that probably these men that he's picking right now knew him and saw him get baptized. And they were probably disciples of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist said, okay, this Jesus guy, this is the king, this is the Messiah, this is who God has been telling us about, you don't need to follow me anymore, you need to follow him, I think they went and listened to what Jesus had to say. And I think that's part of why Jesus picked them. But that's just because of a few things that the Bible says. I just think that that makes the most sense, that they probably already knew him. So he walks up to them in verse 19 and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So immediately they left their nets and followed him. They set their nets down and said, oh, that sounds exciting, and they just walked away. And then in verse 21, it says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and they were in the boat with their dad, with Zebedee their father, and they were mending their nets. Do you know what it means to mend your net?
What?
Well, you have play clothes at home, dress-up costumes that you like to play with.
Yeah.
And you've had them for a long time now, and some of them are kind of falling apart. Do some of them have holes in them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes does Mommy take and sew those holes up and fix them for you?
Yeah.
You know what that's called?
What?
Mending. She's taking the parts that are torn, that are messed up, and she sews them back together and fixes them. So
sometimes she can't do it when it's really big.
Yeah, sometimes it's too hard to do. Sometimes it's easier to just make a new dress, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it gets a bunch of holes. That's because you love them so much and you wear them every single day, and you have been for probably 3 years now. And those dresses see a lot of use. So James and John, they're fishermen also. And they have a boat, and they have a net. And they go out, and they try to catch fish so they can sell fish to other people, so people can have fish to eat. But are they fishing when Jesus comes and finds them?
No.
No, what are they doing?
Mending
their net. Yeah, they got to take, they every once in a while, they got to bring their net in.
What does mend a net mean?
Well, what do you think it means?
I don't know.
What does mending clothes mean?
Sewing.
It's fixing the holes that get in them and the tears, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you have a net and you're trying to catch fish and your net has a big hole in it, are you going to be able to catch fish, or are they going to escape through the hole?
They're going to escape.
Yeah. So if your net gets a hole in it, then what do you have to do?
Mend it.
You got to sew it back up or tie it back together. They might not have sewed it with a needle and thread. They might have to get new pieces of rope and tie it back in and tie it together so there's not a hole in it anymore. Because you can't go fishing with a net that has a hole in it, can you? Well, you can, but you're not going to catch anything. Everything's going to get away. It's going to fall through the hole. So James and John are out. And who were they with? Here, let me read it again. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee.
And their father.
Yeah, they were with their father, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, and they were mending their nets. And he called out to them, and he said the same thing. He said, hey, why don't you come with me instead? And I think he knew them too. I think they already knew him. And I think they were followers of John the Baptist that became followers of Jesus. And I think they probably were around when Jesus was baptized. And it says immediately they left the boat and they left their father and they followed Jesus. Now,
why did they leave their dad?
Well, why did they leave their dad?
I don't know.
What did they go do?
Follow Jesus.
They followed Jesus.
But why did their dad not come with him?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe because Jesus didn't invite him. Maybe Jesus only invited his two sons. Maybe Jesus only wanted some young, strong guys that could go with him, that could follow him, because they had to walk a long way every day. And they weren't always going to be home, and they weren't always going to be with their family, and maybe Jesus just knew it would be easier for them. Maybe their dad wasn't one of John's disciples that became one of Jesus' disciples. It was important that Jesus had people that believed in him, that trusted him, and he invited very special people, and so maybe Zebedee wasn't following him yet. We don't really know why he wasn't invited, but a bunch of people were not invited. Jesus invited some very special ones that he could count on. So, okay, let's back up, and I'm going to ask you a few questions and make sure this all makes sense. What job did all these guys have? What did they do?
Fish.
They were fishermen. Why do we need a job? Daddy has to come to work every day. Why do I have to come to work? Why can't I just stay home and play with you girls all day every day?
Well, you just have to go to work for a little while. One day, and then, and when you come back home, you come to play with us, but then you go to work again. You go to work two times, but in the middle, you play with us.
Yeah, some days I don't go to work once. I go to work two times, don't I? I come into work, and then I get to come home in the afternoon, and then I have to come back in the evening. Matter of fact, there's a bunch of days that I do that because I go take the teenagers to youth rallies, or because I have a Bible study with somebody, or because we have something for the kids. If we do stuff with the little kids, you get to come with me, don't you?
Yeah.
But why is it? Why does Daddy have to go to work?
Because you have to take care of me.
That's right. I have to take care of you. When I go to work and I get paid, what does that let us do with the money that I make?
Take care of people.
How?
I don't know how.
What good things are we able to buy because Daddy works?
Toys.
Toys? What else?
Groceries.
What else?
Apple juice.
Apple juice? That's part of groceries. What else?
Chocolate milk.
What else? Do you get to sleep in a nice warm bed at night?
Yeah.
And have a nice roof over your head and a door that we can lock to make sure we stay safe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to run around naked all the time, or do you have pretty clothes to wear?
Yeah, you have pretty clothes to wear.
Yeah. And when we go places, do we have to walk?
Drive.
We get to drive in a nice car, don't we?
Yeah.
And all those things cost money. So when we go to work, we go to work so we can make money, so we can, like you said, take care of us and take care of our family. So why did Peter and Andrew and James and John have to go to work and be fishermen?
To take care of themselves.
To take care of themselves and their families, huh? What happens if we don't have a job?
We wouldn't be able to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, we wouldn't have any money to buy nice things. Or even not buy nice things. We wouldn't have any money to just eat and just have a pillow to sleep on. So, is it important to have a job?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important to work hard, isn't it? But, you know what?
What?
There's something that's even more important than having a job and working hard and having money. Do you know what's more important than having a job and having food and clothes?
following God.
That's right. That's more important. And so when Jesus came and saw them, they were working. Matter of fact, who did James and John work with?
Their father.
Their father. And so he had his own job, and he had a boat, and they had nets, and they went fishing. And when they walked away to follow Jesus, they didn't just leave their job, but they left part of their family too, didn't they? They left their father. Now, I'm sure they got to see him again, and I'm sure they got to visit with him. And it's not like they just vanished and never saw him again, but they didn't come to work with him anymore. And that made it harder on him because he didn't have helpers to pull that big heavy net in full of fish. And it made it hard for them because now they don't have any fish to sell to make money. But you know what?
What?
They did it anyway because it's more important to follow Jesus. Now, if we can do both, that's good. We can have a job and we can make money and we can still follow Jesus. We don't all have to quit our job. But sometimes jobs get in people's way and people don't follow Jesus because they think their job is more important. And that's not good, is it?
Yeah.
You know what? We had one of our teenagers at church just last week came into church on Sunday morning. And I'm going to tell this story because I'm going to brag on him because he did a good job. He just graduated high school and he got a job working at one of the stores here in town. And he had to come in and work at night, in the middle of the night, while everybody else is asleep. He went in and he got things off of the trucks and went and put them on the shelf so the next morning when people came shopping, there would be lots of things for them to look at and buy. And this store told him, you have to work certain days. And one of those days was Saturday night. So while we were at home getting sleep, so we could wake up Sunday morning and get up and get dressed and have breakfast together and then come to church and worship God together while we were getting a good night's rest, he was working all night in the store and he didn't get any sleep. And he came into church Sunday morning and he didn't just come to church. He's one of the helpers to teach the little kids Bible class. And he came and he helped teach. And I asked him how his job was going, and I didn't even know that he had to work the night before. And he said, it's not going real good. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I had to work all night last night, and they wouldn't let me off early so I could get some rest before church. And so he said, I went and told him, can you give me a different day? I'll work all the other days, but I don't want to work Saturday night. I want to sleep so I can be rested and feel good and get up and go to church. And they said, nope. We can't change the schedule. Everybody has a certain schedule, and that's the schedule you're going to have to keep. And so since they wouldn't let him go home and sleep so he could make sure he always came to church, you know what he told him?
What?
He said, okay, then I quit. And he walked away. He left his job, just like Peter and Andrew and James and John walked away from their job because he knew it was more important to follow God. And guess what? He found another job already, and he probably likes it better anyway. And this new job doesn't make him work during church. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
So he can still work, and he can still make money and try to take care of. He doesn't have a family to take care of yet because he's still a teenager, but he's trying to make money so he can go to school, so he can get a better job. And that's good, but he understands that something is more important than just working and making money. And the most important thing is following Jesus. Now here's something else that's fun about this story. When Jesus said, come and follow me, do you remember what he told them he was going to make them do?
What?
He said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now when we go fishing, what are we trying to catch?
Fish.
But Jesus says, if you follow me, you're going to start trying to catch something else. What is he going to tell them to start trying to catch?
Men.
Men. They're going to try to catch people. Now, do you think they ran around town with their nets and wrapped them around and scooped up people and carried people away?
No.
No, that's not what Jesus was talking about, is it?
He was going to they were going to catch people that were falling in the water.
Do you think they were going to catch people that were falling in the water?
Yeah.
Like being lifeguards?
Yeah.
Well, that's not quite it either. When you go fishing, you take a lure and it looks like something good and you put it out in front of the fish and you try to get them to take it. Now, it's kind of not good for them when we do catch them because we're going to catch them and reel them in and we might eat them. But fishing is about putting something out in front of them and trying to get them to take it. And so Jesus says we got something more important than putting a lure out in the water and trying to get a fish to take it. He said we're going to put the story of Jesus out in front of people. And we're going to try to get people to take that story and listen to it and believe in Jesus. That's what he means when he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He goes, I want you to help me go find people that want to hear about me, that want to hear about Jesus, and that want to hear about heaven. And we can get them to take those stories and to see what Jesus was doing, the miracles he was performing, and start believing in him. So he calls them fishers of men, but what were they being really? What were they doing? Were they being preachers?
Yeah.
Yeah, because what does a preacher do?
He preaches.
He preaches. He tells the story about Jesus and puts it out there for people to listen to. And he hopes, he tries to do a good job and make it where they want to hear it. So they'll take that sermon, that lesson. Preachers and teachers put things out there so we'll go, oh yeah, that's good. That's what I need to start doing. And I'm going to change my life and I'm going to follow Jesus. And so that's what these men were doing. He calls them fishers of men because they were fishermen and they knew what it was like to go out and to try to catch something. He said, we're going to try to catch people's attention and get them to believe in Jesus. Does that sound like a good job to have? Yeah. Now, how did they make money? How did they eat? And how did they buy clothes? And how did they have a house to live in? Because they didn't have a job anymore. They left their job to follow Jesus. How did they take care of all those things?
I don't know.
You know what? We don't always know. The Bible doesn't tell us everything they did. They got help from lots of people. They got help from a bunch of people. And they got help from Jesus. And God took care of them. And even though they didn't have a job, and even though they weren't making money, they were doing what was the most important thing, and that was following Jesus and telling others about him. And God always took care of them. And you know, in Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 4 right now, but if we turn just a couple of pages over, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us the same thing. He says in verse 28, chapter 6, verse 28, why are you worried about clothes? Look at the lilies in the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't work, they don't spend, they don't earn money to go buy pretty petals so that they look so pretty. He said they don't have to do any of those things, and yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. Solomon was one of the kings, and he was very, very rich. He had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money, and he could buy anything he wanted. And he said he still couldn't buy enough clothes to look as pretty as those flowers that grow outside. And then he says, if God clothes the grass that grows out in the field and the flowers, which are alive today and then later they're just gone, will he not much more clothe you? He says, verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what are we going to eat or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear for clothes? He says, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That means seek first everything it takes to go to heaven. That's God's kingdom.
Well, why do we have to? What does seek first mean?
What, you know what it means to seek?
What?
When we play hide and seek, what are we doing? One person's hiding and the other person is doing what?
He's looking for the other.
He's looking for the other person. That's what seek means, to go out and look for and make sure you find something. So he says, I want you to go out and look for and make sure you find ways to do what's right. That's what righteousness is. And find ways to make sure you get to go to heaven in God's kingdom. And he says, if you do that, if you spend all your time trying to do what God wants you to do, he said, then God's going to take care of you. You're always going to have food to eat, and you're always going to have clothes to wear. It might not always be the prettiest clothes that everybody else has, but you'll have what you need. And it might not always be the yummiest treats to get to eat, but you'll always have food. He says he'll take care of us if we put the most important thing first. Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishermen, but they knew what was the most important thing, and what was it?
Following Jesus.
That's right, following Jesus. Whatever happens, are we always going to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah. And are we going to make sure we get to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah. And are we going to get there together?
Yeah.
You betcha, huh? All right. What do you want to tell our listeners today?
Bye.
Bye. All right. And changing gears, I'm going to get on a soapbox today, but I'm going to try to not stay on it very long because Taylor and I went a little longer than we usually do. But on the subject of following Jesus being the most important thing, and especially talking to parents, boy, I've got to say something. What is our responsibility as parents? What is the most important thing that we have been left in charge of? And that is the children that God has blessed us with. And our most important task, we want to see that we get to heaven. We want to see that we help our spouse and find a spouse that's going to help us get to heaven. But then there's a whole nother level of responsibility when we bring children into the world, because we didn't choose our children. Our children didn't choose us. There's no agreement that, look, sometimes I'm not going to be at my best, and you're going to need to step in and help me out, you know, like our spouse will do for us. We have got to be there for our kids 100%, and present them with God's path toward his kingdom, and do everything that we can to teach them, to train them, to rear them in a way that they will know who God is, that they will, when they go off on their own, find a spouse that'll help them do the same thing for their families. We've got such an incredible responsibility to make sure that our children understand what it means to put God first. And we talked about the men in our story, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, walking away from their job to go follow Jesus. And we look back at that, and that's not just a story. Those men did that. They saw something. They understood the weight of the issue, and they made the sacrifices that it took to leave that behind and to go follow Jesus. And many of us today do not have the kind of job where that's a decision that we have to make. Lots of us today, maybe we have flexibility in our schedules, and we can ask for, you know, time off to do this and that, or make sure we have Sundays off for worship or things like that. A lot of us may just have a Monday to Friday 8 to 5, and Sundays and Wednesdays are never a problem to begin with. That's not the case with everyone. There are people that have to make those decisions. It's not even just about work, though. But let's talk about that for a minute. Does your job get in the way of you putting God first? And remember, we're talking about teaching and training our children and being an example in front of them. What is more important for you to show your children while you have the responsibility of laying the foundation that will, in many ways, it's not going to be the only thing, but it's going to be a very strong thing that is going to nurture and direct their decisions, the way they see the world, the way they make those decisions for the rest of their life? What are you teaching them? What are you showing them is the most important thing? Are you willing to show them that having a good job and making lots of money so that you can have the big house and three cars and a boat and all these other things, is that the most important thing? And, well, missing church once in a while because, you know, I'm working overtime or things like that is not as big of a deal. It's worth it because we get all this good stuff. Is that really what God has placed in front of you as the most important thing to show and to teach your children? Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to quit your job, to walk away from it, if you knew or if you thought that you doing that job was, maybe you don't even feel like it's getting in the way of your spiritual life, but if you thought that it was teaching your children something other than putting God absolute first in your life, would you be willing to just walk away from that job and find something else? Would you be willing to work for less pay to make sure that you have all the time you need to be involved in church, to help teach classes, to make sure that you're at, you know, activities, make sure that you're available to help other members, make sure that you're available to reach out to the community through Bible study? Would you be willing to quit your job, walk away from it, and drive an older car and wear less cool clothes and eat out at restaurants less often? Is that something that you'd be willing to do? And this is one of those topics, boy, people are going to get mad when they hear stuff like this. I've made people mad before. I've been chewed out before. And I'm not talking about, did you miss one worship service one time? Well, shame on you. You're not going to go to heaven. That's not my point. My point is, are we doing the very best that we can? Are we truly putting God first in everything that we do? And which is more important? Is making a little extra money really more important than serving God? Is getting our kids to a ball game more important than serving God? Again, it's not a question of, well, it's, God's not going to care if we miss this one time. That's not even what I'm talking about. What message are we teaching our children when we let them miss one time for a ball game, and one time for a school activity, and one time for a friend's birthday party, and one time, and all of a sudden those one times become a bunch of times? What they're seeing, what they're learning is, yeah, God is good when it's convenient, but these other things, boy, I can't miss these opportunities. I've got to win that T-ball trophy to set up on my shelf to show me how good I did and how proud I am of this thing that in a few years, you know, it's going to go to the trash can anyway. Are our children going to grow into the kind of person that says, God is the most important thing? God comes absolutely first. And if I have to make a choice between God and a job, between God and a sports opportunity, a ball game, or in many cases just practice that takes place during worship, if I have to make the decision between God and a social club, that if I'm not a member of this club in good standing, then, you know, that's going to be job opportunities that I can't get as I advance up the corporate ladder, all these things. What is truly the most important thing in our lives? Because when I look around, I see a lot of people that put a lot of things, a lot of times, in front of God. Now, you tell me you can't judge them. No, but I can judge the fruit that I see. And I see kids who end up falling away from the church and parents scratching their heads going, I don't know what happened. And I think that our story today is an incredible example of men who really were committed to God. And what do you think their families saw? And what do you think their friends saw? And what kind of impact did that have when they were willing to make the tough decision to quit, to walk away from things, to maybe leave some of their family for a time, or walk away from a job, or walk away from a social club, or stop participating in a sport, to follow Jesus, to put God very first in their life. Folks, we have a responsibility to our children. Our responsibility is to teach them what truly is the most important thing. And I said I wasn't going to go long, and I'm looking at the timer now, and I'm going longer than I had planned on. But what are we teaching our children? It's not a question of how many days can I skip church and still be okay. It's not a question of don't judge me because we were at the lake last weekend. We went and visited a congregation while we were there. Good. Great. That's perfect. I'm glad you did that. Some people don't. Some people don't give it a second thought. And our children see what our first thought and our second thought and what gets no thought. They see that and they learn this is okay. If dad's doing it, if mom's doing it, they're good people. This is okay. And we might be leaving them with the, not might be, we are. We are. When we put anything in front of God, when we, any excuse that we make for not serving, for not following God, not just in attendance, but in anything, we're teaching and we're showing that is okay. We can make this exception. You don't have to do this. And then we wonder why our children grow up and they don't do things and they don't stay faithful. And it's because maybe they're seeing that in us. We have let them believe that sometimes it's okay for God to take second place in my life. And I encourage you, I challenge you to examine the things that are in your life, the decisions that you make, whether it's jobs or hobbies or social clubs or sports or anything like that. If it comes between you and God, if it just scoots God over even just a little bit, is this really worth my time? Is this really impacting my family, my children, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors, and letting them see God's light reflecting from me? We talk about reflecting God's light to those around us all the time. What is actually being reflected? Are we showing that God truly is the most important thing in our lives? Especially your children. Are we showing them what matters the absolute most? Not just telling them, oh yeah, God's the most important thing. We got to remember that. Okay, everybody, in the car, we're going on a trip today. What about church? We've done that 51 times this year. We can miss one time. Are we showing them that God is the absolute most important thing in our lives, and that when we do that, our needs will be taken care of? Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. You can find the show notes and subscription information on our website, heavenboundpodcast.com. As always, thank you so much for listening, and have a blessed week.